The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Eight intentional walks, two intentional balks, only one counted, but 15th and 16th inning home runs, the most bonkers baseball game of the season. Look how the score goes. That's Kevin Brown. And the relief of snapping your 19-game losing streak. Let's go.
I know how it feels.
Cam Newton's return to Patriots practice today after his time away because of the COVID protocol. Doug Kide of Pro Football Focus had Newton 6 of 10, including a throwaway. Had Mac Jones 11 of 23, including an interception and four drop passes. That's today. This week, Mac Jones was getting rave reviews. Tom Curran, NBC, said there's no question who's the best quarterback after the week of practice for Jones. Quote, it tucked the debate in and turned out the lights. Mina Kimes, do you believe Bill Belichick has tucked the debate in and turned out the light, and then Mac Jones is the quarterback here?
Well, it's kind of hard for me to imagine Bill Belichick tucking anyone in and turning off the lights and singing a lullaby, so the metaphor has lost me. I don't think so. Look, this has been a true quarterback competition from the start, and unlike the Potemkin competition in Jacksonville, there's no reason for them to make a decision until the last minute and to be definitive about it, even if Mac Jones took advantage of Cam Newton's absence, which it sounds like he did. Mac Jones has been excellent in the preseason. He's done everything you could have wanted. He's thrown with touch, anticipation, he's gone through his progressions, and he's mitigated the concerns I had about him before the draft, which was how he was handled by pressure by getting rid of the ball so quickly. But Cam Newton has also played really well. Last week, I thought he was excellent. So to me, this should go down to the wire. Then Bill Belichick can make a decision based on who plays best at the end.
Woody Page, we'll bring you in here. This is lighting up the screen today, Woody, with that shirt. I appreciate it. Where are we at the Patriots quarterback competition?
Well, Curran also said in that article that I thought was interesting that this week Cam had Newton had thrown no passes and Jones had thrown 500 in practice. Okay. So you would understand that maybe he has an edge right now in terms of what he's doing at quarterback. He wasn't as good today against the Giants and then said earlier today that he thought the Giants kind of reworked their defense for him, which is surprising. But I do think, I agree, I think that he's won the job. I think he's been good enough. And whether Cam was in a victim of a misunderstanding or didn't get the vaccination, we don't really know at this point. I wouldn't take it to the end. I'd go ahead. It's not as if Bill Belichick hasn't replaced a veteran with a youngster before. We saw it with a guy who's now in Tampa Bay and Tom Brady. So I would make the move to the kid if I were the Patriots.
Jim Calishaw, how about
I'm
you?
Not, though.
Well, let me apologize first for this shirt. I didn't know it was tribute to Iron Butterfly Day on Around the Horn. But let me say this about Mac Jones. I don't know that he's won the job, but I think he had the upper hand on the job as soon as Bill Belichick watched him in college at Alabama and saw those stats, 41 TD passes, four interceptions. New England has always been about not making big plays, but avoiding turnovers, not fumbling. And Cam had six of those last year. So I don't really look at Cam, you know, as the reigning starter. He started last year on a bad team that Bill Belichick is trying to forget. I think it's been an open competition, but I think Mac Jones has just about won it.
And L. Duncan, we'll bring you in here. News of the day at practice today against the Giants. Mac Jones is 11 of 23 in an interception. Cam Newton's first time back, 6 of 10. You read anything into it?
Oh, my gosh. I cannot believe we are literally, like, going, like, play by play on seven drills. Oh, my goodness, you guys. For a seven-win team. Anyway, listen, I'll say this. I think it's been a bad couple of days for the unvaccinated collective in the NFL on the same day that you've got Cole Beasley and Isaiah McKenzie, the Bills receivers, getting fined significantly for not wearing their masks. They are vocally unvaccinated. It appears Cam Newton is as well. You're now talking about him potentially losing out on a starting job because someone took advantage of an opportunity because of a misunderstanding. Yes, he has 100% the right to not get the vaccination, but he is not free from consequences, and it appears as though Mac Jones got the edge doing that. You can't tell me that a guy like Bill Belichick, who reportedly reads The Art of War every single year before the season starts, is going to be impressed by someone who won't get the vaccination in order to compete in what's been a pretty competitive job. What I'm interested is Cam Newton's response, because it's been pretty nice for him lately, and over the last couple of years in Boston, really, in terms of how much they like him. Now they are fully infatuated with this kid, and I'm interested to see how emotionally mature he is during this process.
Headline two, Dak Prescott throwing for the first time in 4 weeks. Look at him go throw here. Here he is. He's throwing. That's a throw. Tim Kalish, I turn to you. Bengals are playing Joe Burrow in preseason game 3, so he can have some game action before the regular season after his injury. Can you see value in the Cowboys playing Prescott Sunday before he has to play the Buccaneers week 1 of the season?
We turn from a 7-win team to a 6-win team here. Yes, I do see the value. I think there's always value in starters playing a little. If you looked at Tom Brady's years in New England, many years, he threw passes, he frequently threw a lot more passes than most starting quarterbacks. But the Cowboys don't look at it that way. Nobody thinks Dak Prescott is going to play. And the problem with that is he hasn't played since last October. It's not really just, you know, connecting with CeeDee Lamb. It's how does he react? How does it even feel to have live rushers coming at him? He's not going to know until Thursday night when the Super Bowl champions are trying to get all over him. And that's going to be his first test in 11 months of how the ankle feels.
Mina, would you see value in playing Dak Prescott in the Sunday exhibition game?
Yeah, I actually would. You know, around the NFL, you've got coaches like Sean McVay, Matt LaFleur, that whole tree, who are sitting their starters in the preseason. It is a new trend, but they are also getting them live action and joint practices. And I think Dak Prescott, coming off of such a brutal injury, probably wants, based on what we've heard, that feeling, that sensation of being on the field and having defenders in his face and some consequences. Don't have to give him a lot of time out there, but I feel like it would be helpful to get him out there for just a little bit so he can, you know, ease his way back into action.
Elle, what side of the discussion are you on here?
Don't. I just think that recent, I understand he's coming off a devastating injury, but I think recent history shows that one of the biggest concerns you have with your quarterback, right, is their timing and their chemistry with their receivers. That is not a problem when it comes to these very quarterback-friendly receivers. We saw that last year, CeeDee Lamb. Limited opportunities to work with Dak because of the pandemic. It did not matter. They hit the ground running last year. Same with Amari Cooper a couple of years ago when he came over mid-season. They hit the ground running as well. So I think in terms of playing it safe, you are still in a very weak division. This is not about week one. This is about week 7, 8, 9, and 10, when really it's probably only going to take 6 or 7 wins to be, in this thing, in this division. So why do anything?
6 or 7 wins is what you're setting the line on for the NFC East, and we added a game this season. So that would be 6 and 11?
I mean, what? So you, right. You feel good about Jalen Hurts?
So you'd play it safe. Now to Woody Page, who, once again, the shirt, not playing anything safe in his life. Go ahead.
I'm of the riding the bike philosophy. It's not as if he forgot how to play quarterback since last season. The guy's a veteran. Do you really want to throw him out there, no pun intended, throw him out there and have him pass 5 or 6 times, hand off 4 or 5 times, maybe get hit once? People talk about, well, you want to get hit on that injury so that you can see that you get over it mentally. Well, I don't want him to be hit on the ankle. Forget about the shoulder. Shoulder's back. It's the ankle that they need to rest as long as they can. And Mina, as you well know, that the joint practices mean more than the actual exhibitions because they can be controlled by the coaches. They can actually get in all of the action that you want without people hitting the quarterback. So he's done that. I don't think he needs to do anything else.
Mina?
Oh, no, I was just going to say, yeah, barely, right? Like, I think it is a good point about the joint practices. It's why you've seen these teams keep their starters out of preseason games. But Dak hasn't had that much exposure. Like, the dude just picked up a football. So that's my feeling about it. If he had had more time and more, you know, of a sense of being out there, I would feel better about it.
One more story here. It's baseball, how the Dodgers beat the Padres last night. A.J. Pollock in the 16th two-run homer. I said this game was last night. Actually ended this morning. This game also had an impossibly odd occurrence in the 15th inning, a balk on purpose. Actually two, because time was called to the first one, so they did it again. Dodgers didn't want a runner on second stealing signs. But that was moot when Tatis hit a two-run home run to tie the game in the 15th. And, well, long story short, Woody, this game went 16 innings with the new extra inning rules. It's amazing. What's your takeaway from a game as crazy as this?
Maybe they need to just totally revamp that extra inning California.
Oh, rule. I don't think we
that
need
if
to.
You go to the 11th inning, you put a runner at third base. But I, my takeaway last night was how well did Dave Roberts, he didn't fall asleep, even though he said he was very tired at the end. Mm-hmm. I mean, those 8 intentional walks, they were doing because the Padres had pitchers in the batting lineup for a change, relief pitchers who never bat, and so he would walk the hitters to actually get to the pitchers every inning. I think that was a brilliant move, and as you said, he even had balks happening so that he could move people over and not have to worry about stealing signs.
Hell, a game as crazy as that.
I love the managerial strategy.
Can you learn anything from it?
Yeah, you absolutely can. First of all, that game is like it's like one of those Russian nesting dolls. Like every time you reveal one oddity, there's like 30 more oddities to come, right? I mean, just it's not. There was a no-hitter in the middle of the game, a 9-game no-hitter in the middle of the game. Anyway, it was huge for the Dodgers because coming into that game, they had only won one of their previous 13 extra inning games, so they needed that because they were approaching the same type of futility we've only seen from the 1969 Expos, who lost 110 games. So they needed that as they get into this final stretch just to tell themselves that they could win in that situation. I think they did a great job, and Dave Roberts should get a lot of credit for how he played it.
Jim Kalisha?
I will keep it very simple. The Dodgers are the defending champs. They have a $260 million payroll, and they did not have confidence in the 15th inning. They could get a signal from the catcher to the pitcher without it getting stolen, so they had to intentionally balk. That is mind-boggling.
Evita Kimes.
I'll just hit the other side. Al's right. This is huge for the Dodgers. Brutal for the Padres. Just like this, we thought this was going to be a clash of the Titans 2 months ago when the Padres were a sure thing to make it to the playoffs. Now their chances are down to about 27%. To waste this kind of start from Blake Snell, that's brutal for them.
And Al, you're right. I mean, I double and triple checked it here. Padres were no hit from the 5th to the 15th inning. That's an incredible job from the Dodgers pitching staff. All right, taking a break here. Check this out. If you're first coming across goal ball, you might have some questions. The Paralympics celebrates abilities and celebrates disabilities. And to that end, for those that have vision impairments, everybody in goal ball wears eye shades. It's played on a volleyball-sized court, 3 to a side. You have to bowl the ball into a net while others defend. The ball has bells inside of it to allow players to sense its location by hearing. And it is awesome. The U.S. women beat Brazil 6-4, and the U.S. men beat Brazil 8-6. We'll be back by ourselves in 2 minutes.
Nice.
Let's go.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
There have been some great games. We know how long those games go. And there have been some great stories in the Little League World Series this year, too, to mention. Ella Bruning for Texas joining the growing list of girls to record a hit in the series. And South Dakota's Gavin Weir, incredible Little League World Series run. His no-hitter yesterday. The second he's had in a week. The fourth he's had since the regionals started. In 132 batters, he has given up one hit and six walks. And South Dakota in the final four, but he can't pitch again because he's at his limit. L, of all the great runs you've seen in the Little League World Series, how do you describe what Gavin Weir has done?
It's incredible. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is tweeting at him, right? We haven't seen a Little League World Series kid this popular since Big Al said he liked to hit dingers. It's super impressive, and what I like most about this kid is despite his dominance, despite being compared to Chris Sale, he actually said he was disappointed in himself because forget the no-hitters. He wanted to hit or throw perfect games, and I love that about him. I hope that maybe some way there's a delay so this kid can pitch.
Oh, you mean a rain delay on Sunday because he could pitch on Monday because the limit reset?
If there's a rain delay, then it would postpone
it. Have there been rain delays in these games that start at 3 o'clock and push the games later past 5 o'clock Eastern? I have no idea. Have there? Tim Kalish, how about you?
I think that happened once, yes. I mean, his story, he's been a hitting star when he isn't a pitching star. But just watching those pitches and thinking what would it be like at 12 years old standing in the shadows to try to even see those pitches coming past me. I can't comprehend
it. Woody Page.
Yeah, well, I'm watching all the games because Around the Horn's on ESPN 9 or something, the show. So, but I can identify with what he's accomplished. I threw a no-hitter in the league, and we lost 9-2 because I had a lousy defense. But
I think
he accomplished with 602 pitches since district and giving up one hit, it's a good thing Ohtani was there at the World Series earlier because he's actually duplicating that with his home run.
And Mina Kimes.
Yes, the Ohtani comp is better than the Sale comp because he hit a homer to help his team advance. So I've done the math, and it's 2021. I believe the Mariners are going to be competitive in 2027 when he's eligible for the draft, if I've got it all correct.
Yes.
I've got my eye on Gavin Weir. Yes. He's the one that's going to deliver us our first World Series win.
Buy or sell two, Imani Bates, the number three recruit in the top 100, picking Memphis over Michigan State, who he originally committed to, and over Oregon, and over the G League. Tim Kalishaw, bigger deal for Bates or for Memphis or for college basketball that they got the player over the G League?
At this point, I'm just going to say college basketball because we see a lot of kids, and they have the right to go to the G League. They ought to be able to go straight to the NBA. They will again one day. But I just like seeing a school that's not Duke or Kentucky, no offense to them, somebody getting top recruits to kind of, you know, level the playing field just a bit.
Woody Page?
Well, I am to Memphis as L is to Denver. In 1957, when I was a kid, under the cover, I would listen to Memphis State basketball in the NIT, and I still love that team. And Penny Hardaway, with his assistant coach, Larry Brown, have brought in seven new players. They won the NIT last year. They could win the NCAA this year with this bunch.
Mina Kimes. Wow, Woody.
I think it's a big deal for college basketball because of what it means that Memphis is able to recruit the way they have. They got Wiseman, of course, he didn't play. And apparently they recruited Bates with Penny saying, hey, you could be Penny and your best bud, Jalen Duren, could be Shaq. As a college coach, how do you compete with Penny Hardaway telling recruits that they can be Penny? I mean, it gives them such an obvious edge, and I think this team is going to be competitive for a while as a result.
Okay, you bring up Wiseman as a recruit. That didn't work out so great for Memphis. L. Duncan, how about you?
Well, they are going to be competitive, to Mina's point, because, you know, they're going to have to stay because of sort of the realigning. We're going to end up seeing him stay at Memphis for at least a couple of years instead of being a one and done. I think this is a huge win for college basketball, for name, image, and likeness as well, because while he said it did not factor in his decision, let's be honest, the ability to now go to college and for the next 2 years earn an income as opposed to going to the G League and doing it that way, score one for those, and despite the fact NCAA doesn't want it, it's going to be good for them in the long run. He's going to make them a lot of money.
That's our horn. Looks like a Paige Kalischer showdown. Mina, just remind us what you said about Woody's shirt the last time you wore a loud shirt, and now what he's wearing today. Go ahead.
I said it looked like he got it at Dan Flash's, but that was nothing compared to today.
And then Woody was like, Dan Flash's. Yeah, I get it. And you had no idea what we were talking about.
Still don't.
And you still have no idea. Thanks for being here today, me, Elle.
Dizzying.
Woody Page, Tim Kalischer, trying to tuck it in and turn off the light. Does Tim Kalischer win 500 against the show's all-time win leader? Next.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
How the Orioles snapped their 19-game losing streak. They came back from 6-2 down to Shohei Ohtani and beat the Angels' bullpen and saved themselves from breaking the record held by themselves 33 years ago, the 0-21 team. And they celebrated. Woody Page, is snapping your 19-game losing streak something to celebrate?
Absolutely. If you're the players, they're not tanking. The front office and the ownership might be. Not only should they have celebrated last night, but they should have a one-block parade later today to celebrate it again.
If you've ever been in a baseball clubhouse where they've lost 7 or 8 in a row, it's the most miserable place in sports. They lose 19 in a row, heading for their third straight 100-loss season, and then it's not their fault. It's management's fault. Celebrate.
What would you
enjoy
call,
that moment,
Tim, a clubhouse where they've lost 9 shows in a row and they're on the precipice of a milestone win, say 500?
Hungry. A hungry place to be.
Split the point to make this interesting. Lose Showdown it. 2. Mm. MLS All-Stars versus Liga MX. It went to kicks, and it's capped off Matt Turner's incredible couple of months. The Stones there in the penalty kicks. He was the MVP of the All-Star game. He won the Gold Cup. It was the GK of the tournament. Revolution are in first in MLS. He hasn't lost in 13 games. He had a great first pitch at Fenway. Today, he got the call up to the U.S. men's national team for World Cup qualifiers. Tim, what's the best part of Matt Turner's run?
Tony, this is so easy. Look at that All-Star game finish. One save goes this way. He gets it with his hands. One save goes that way. He gets it with his feet. What do you want from him? He's doing it all for
better.
The All-Stars.
He is the goalkeeper of the future for the U.S. World Cup team. This guy, Matt Turner, is the future and the face of soccer.
The future is now. Tim Kalischer, do you believe in miracles? Oh. Yes, 500 career wins.
What a long, strange trip to 500 it has been. Thank you for that deserved applause. I want to thank all my fellow panelists, including Woodrow Page, the only one I'm chasing and will still be chasing for some time. I want to thank, of course, Anthony Rialli, Aaron Solomon, Josh Pard, the great Eric Rideholm for creating all these shows. And mostly I want to thank my alma mater and our Minister of Culture, Matthew McConaughey. Everybody should read Green Lights. Just keep living. We'll be back to start 500 next week. All right, all right, all right.
All right, all right, all right. There he is.